Members of the Church of Christ are often accused of not having a heartfelt religion. We're accused of this because we don't have, per se, an emotional, charismatic type of worship service. We don't scream, shout, and run around during our worship. Typically and normally, we don't do that. Now, some of our children do. Maybe they got away from their parents. I think the charge has grown out of a misunderstanding of what the Bible has to say about the heart. For a number of weeks, I have been presenting lessons as best I can to examine and to think about and to talk about the heart. And how important it is for us to make sure that we have our hearts in the right place. So as we continue that thought even today, I'd like for us to think about some simple questions. Is your heart right with God? How would you know? Worship services, are they a joy to you? The singing, do you enjoy that? Bible study, reading the Bible, is that something you really delight in? But also when we talk about the heart, when we're angry with someone, bitterness, even jealousy. Is God really the most important thing in your life? You see, you can preach sermons about any one of those things in and of themselves, but really at the base of all of those topics is your heart. You remember that Philip, preaching to the eunuch, when the eunuch said, "See, here is water, what hinders me from being baptized?" Philip responded, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." If I might ask a very simple question, but I think very profound as well, what in the world was Philip talking about with all your heart? Was he just talking about his emotions? Let's think a little bit closer about this today. First of all, I think all of us understand that man is a dual nature creature. And that is, there is a physical heart versus a spiritual heart. And I think most of us today, as we study this, we'd say, well, you know, I get that. I understand that. I think that most of us do, yes, get that. And we understand that. But probably we've never taken the time, maybe you have, just to kind of go through the scriptures and look at how God has so perfectly defined the concepts of the physical heart versus the spiritual heart. A passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16 is an example. Notice this text says, "Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day." Did you notice that? The outer man and the inner man. Well, God recognizes the fact that we are dual creatures. He created us, after all. He knows us. And there's a physical side to us, and there's a spiritual side to us. And this passage identifies that. In 2 Samuel chapter 18, this is just an example. "And he took three spears in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom." Now, when you read that passage, does it not mean that what happened there was that Absalom was killed when three spears were put in his outer man, physical heart. And that would be right here. Okay? Now, when we read this passage in Acts 2, and when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. Well, that is the spiritual man. That is the inner man heart. So right from the very get-go, you ought to be able to see from Scripture that each of us has two hearts. We have a physical heart, which pumps the blood in our bodies, and we need that to live. But then there's a spiritual heart. So today I really want to talk to us about the spiritual heart. I'm not qualified in any way to talk about the physical heart. I'm not a doctor. But I think as a study of the Word of God will reveal to us, the spiritual heart is very, very important. And basically, it's broken down in this way in the Bible. First of all, we read in the Scriptures about intellect. Now, intellect is a word that just means the ability of the mind to come to correct conclusions about what is true or false. Now, briefly, let me suggest to you what you read about in the Bible that is referred to as the heart, but man would conclude it's just the intellect or his intelligence. For instance, in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, a passage we're very familiar with, the text says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." Now, I've mentioned this before and I'll mention it again, but sometimes we talk about the idea of this being our heart. We'll talk more about emotions in a second. We'll say, "Well, I just feel it in my heart." Well, you're actually pointing to the wrong one. Because this physical pumper is not what you think with. It's up here. We find also in Mark chapter 2 and verse 8, there is reason. The Scripture says, "Why are you reasoning about these things in your hearts?" Another is the understanding. Matthew 13 and verse 15, "For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them." You believe with your heart. Romans 10 and verse 10 says, "For with the heart man believes." So what I would like to suggest to us, when you want to really dissect the idea of what the Bible has to say about the heart, you first of all have to decide, you're talking human heart in the sense of a physical heart, or are you talking about the spiritual heart? We're looking at the spiritual heart. So man would think, or categorize, since we're talking about the way you think, the way you reason, the way you understand, and because you believe, that you're talking about your intellect. The Bible calls it the heart. Okay? Now, what about your emotions? Well, when you look at Scripture, like in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 16, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. This one? No, this one. This, the mind, is the Bible heart, and that's where the emotions are. In Romans 10 and verse 1, Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation." We also find in Matthew 22 and verse 37, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." Well, certainly that would include this idea of emotions. Proverbs 3 and verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart." So, when we're talking about emotions, we're talking about that which despises, desires, loves, or trusts. So if we're talking about emotional things, we're still talking about the heart. So you've got intellect and you've got emotion. But then you've got will. This is another aspect of the heart, the spiritual heart. It determines in 1 Corinthians 7 verse 37, and as so determined in his heart that he will keep his virgin does well. That is, makes a decision. Hebrews 4 verse 12, there is intention to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. His purposes, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7, let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart. Romans 6 has to do with obedience. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. Now, what I'm showing you here is just a dissection of Scripture that talks about the heart and the different aspects of the heart. Here we're talking about the will. That is your desire, your determination, your purpose in doing something. And then we talk about the conscience. Conscience can condemn you. Have you ever done something or getting ready to do something and your conscience, your heart is saying, don't do that, or you did the wrong thing. Something's talking to you. What is that? Is it this one? Or is it this one? But then our hearts can also not condemn us. Look at this 1 John chapter 3 passage. This is a really interesting text, and I'm just introducing it to you today, but I hope you'll take time to look at it closer. In 1 John chapter 3 verse 20 and 21, the text says, in whatever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. So here's just an explanation of something that I think is pretty interesting here, is that John discusses the very idea about our hearts in regards to whether or not we are condemned or we're not condemned. Now what does that mean? You know in your heart whether you did the right thing or not. What we try to do sometimes, we do the wrong thing, we know we did the wrong thing, but then we tried to convince ourselves that it was okay. So we have conflict within our own hearts. Now, if I've totally got you confused, which I hope I have not, I'd like to be able to try to stitch this together to make some sort of sense as to what really goes on up here. Okay? Maybe most of us don't understand what goes on up here, but the Bible does talk about it. How is the spiritual heart changed? Have you ever changed your mind about something? Has there ever been anything that you were very, very convinced of? You were very emotional about it, and you really believed it. But then you completely changed your mind. You changed your heart. Maybe for some of you, it had to do with salvation. Maybe for many, many years, you believed a certain way that a person ought to act or react in regards to God's call. Damon had a really good lesson here several weeks ago about being called of God. How many of you have, through the years, since found out that you were wrong about your calling of God? Well, how does your heart change? Is it just an emotional thing? You know, it's sad to say, but many religious groups prey upon people emotionally only. It's an emotional thing. Have you ever heard of buyer's remorse? What is buyer's remorse? There might be a number of definitions of that, but You go look at something, you really want it. You really desire it. I mean, you're in love with it. I mean, it's just what you need. Well, scratch need. It's just what you want. All right? And you're excited about it. And you just really want it. And the salesman, whether it's a car, house, whatever it is, you know, you're convinced. And then you buy that thing. And then you find out, what was I thinking? You get the first payment due and you go, what in the world was I thinking? I'm going to have to pay this amount for 143 years. I mean, what is the deal? And you say something like this, I don't want it anymore. I made a mistake. Did you buy that with your whole heart? The answer? No. It was an emotional buy. I'm sure none of y'all have never done that. I'm sure that's never happened to you. Right? Incidentally, some people get married that way. They meet somebody and I mean their heart just goes, I mean this one. It just, I mean, it's just hog wild and pig crazy, and you're just like, must be a sign. This is the right one. Bam! Get married. Week later, what did I do? Well, what happened? Well, sometimes we don't use our whole heart faculties. The intellect. The intellect aspect of your heart is changed by evidence that's presented. Here's the deal. When it comes to religion, most people think, well, I want to find a church that, boy, it just really sets my heart on fire. And I'm just so excited, and I'm just loving to be there, and everything they're doing is just, oh man, it's just exciting, and it's loving, and it's hugging, and it's kissing, and it's just wonderful, 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 wonderful. And don't confuse all of that with what's right and what's wrong or what the Bible says. I don't care what the Bible says. Man, when I go in that church, I just feel it. That happens all the time to people. And don't get me wrong. I have preached from this pulpit that so many of us don't have that emotional part of us. We just kind of leave that out of the equation. I'm saying to you that it's a part of the equation, but it's not the only thing to consider, how you feel. You have to talk about what's right. And when we talk about what's right, Thomas is an example. Thomas, in the book of John, you recall him. What do we call Thomas? Doubting Thomas. Well, in John 20, verse 27, and he said to Thomas, reach here your fingers and see my hands, and reach here your hand and put it into my side. Be not unbelieving, but believing. Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Now you go back and read the rest of the passage. Thomas said, after the others said they saw Jesus, he said, nah, I don't believe that. I'm not going to believe it unless I touch. He needed some evidence. His mind is saying, nope, I don't believe. But then, when he got the evidence, he believed. The written word is our evidence today. I'm going to say this, and I hope it's clear to everyone. There is absolutely no way for an individual to have a complete, full heart, heartfelt religion if they do not know what this says. I know lots of really good people. I got family. They're not interested in what the Bible says, really. Now, they're not naysaying the Bible. They're not saying the Bible is not true. They just don't care anything about reading it and studying it. And they certainly don't want you preaching it to them and telling them what they believe is wrong. Most people today have given up on the idea of you telling them anything religiously that they're wrong in. They don't want to hear it. All they want is a feel-good religion. It's impossible to have a heartfelt, feel-good religion without intelligence. You're deceiving yourself. God never intended for us to worship and really have a heartfelt, emotional experience and don't have a clue intellectually about what is right and wrong. That is one of the major deceptions that is in the religious world today. And then you hear people say, well, you know, if you start reading and studying the Bible, you start arguing about what the Bible says, you just ruin religion because you're fiddling around with all this, you know, cross the T and dot the I stuff, and you just take the fun out of church. I'm sorry. But it does make a difference what you believe. And how can you believe unless you hear the Word of God? Well, emotions are changed when the evidence is believed. And that's important for us to understand as well. Remember back in the story about Jacob in Genesis 37? Those wicked sons of his, remember they sold Joseph into slavery? Remember that? They took his coat of many colors, dipped it in animal's blood and brought it back, and they told their father. They lied like a dog. They told their father, "Is this your son's coat?" "Yes." "Well, look at his condition. What does this suggest?" He was killed by some wild animal. That ripped Jacob's heart out. This one? No, this one. He was given some evidence that was false. Yet, Jacob believed and had an emotion based upon false evidence. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters in Christ, those that are listening in this broadcast today, there are tons of people that have believed false evidence and become so emotional. And if you really, really took the time to research it, you'll find out you're wrong. But people don't want to go down that road. Some people would rather be wrong than to study through it and find out they're wrong. Did you get that? On Pentecost. Wow, there were about 3,000 people that went through a major change in emotion. They had just crucified the Son of God, the apostle said. And they hear the preaching of the Word of God, and then they say, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Now, when you read that, you can't help but see some emotion there. How would you feel if you had been guilty of killing the Son of God, and you thought that was okay? You thought that was cool? You thought that was the right thing to do? And now you hear a sermon, and all of a sudden, the evidence is presented to you from the Word of God that Jesus of Nazareth really is the Son of God, and you just killed Him. You don't think that would spark emotion? If it doesn't spark emotion, then your spiritual heart is dead. Please understand that no one that reads the Bible is going to conclude that being a Christian doesn't involve emotion. It does. But it's based upon evidence. It's not just based upon feeling good, regardless of the information. Any of us can be worked up into some kind of a frenzy to jump around and hoot and holler. About what? We don't know. What does a mob do? What has a mob been doing in our country? Oh, I don't doubt that there are some instigators. I don't doubt that there are people among them that know what's going on and why they're doing what they're doing. But there's a bunch of people out there that are just throwing stuff and tearing up stuff and doing what they're doing. For what reason? They don't have a clue other than, hey, they enjoy burning buildings. They enjoy tearing up stuff. They enjoy stealing. And the very ones, and this has been characteristic in the United States for a number of years, is that someone may have a legitimate gripe and complaint about unfairness or injustice in our society. So they go to an area and they destroy things, they burn things, and it hurts the very people that they claim that they're concerned about. How dumb is that? There's no intellect in that. It's all emotion. Just recently, the senator from Kentucky, Rand Paul, a bunch of folks were really upset because of the girl that was killed up in Louisville, Kentucky. Wrongly. It's a shame and disgrace what happened. And it's Rand Paul who came up with a bill to prevent that in the future, and yet when he's in Washington, D.C., at the RNC there, after that, a bunch of people come up and telling him and his wife that he must say this girl's name or they're going to kill him, not understanding that he's the very one trying to help them. What idiots! Now, having said all that, do you understand religion to why we're divided? And may I be frank? We have a bunch of idiots in church. And I mean that sincerely. That they don't know what the Bible says, but they're just going on their feelings. Just their feelings. The will is changed by motives produced by faith. Saul. Anybody more emotional than Saul of Tarsus? He thought he was doing it intellectually correct. And it's very possible for us to be convinced that we've crossed the T's and dotted the I's and we're very strongly emotional about it. But then when all the evidence is searched and we learn that we are wrong, just like Saul of Tarsus saw Jesus on the road. Jesus said to him, go into Damascus and it shall be told you what you should do. And he goes into Damascus and there Ananias preaches to him. And Ananias says, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. How in the world could such an intelligent, emotional man change his mind? Now, all I'm suggesting, brothers and sisters in Christ, is that we are a part of a heartfelt religion. But if all you get out of that is you got to jump over the pew and run around the auditorium hoot and holler to be heartfelt, then you don't have a clue as to what the Bible teaches. Maybe that doesn't matter to you. Saul didn't believe Jesus to be the Christ. And how emotional was he about that? He was willing to kill Christians. Until he heard the Word of God. You know, the mobs in these cities, even their own people that are supposed to be allowing them to do what they're doing, when they come out and try to speak to them, how does the mob react to them? They won't hear nothing they got to say. You see, when you're mad, when you're upset, You don't want to hear nothing nobody's got to say. There's no rhyme or reason that you want to listen to because you're mad and you're upset and you just want to tear up something. Well, the conscience is changed by knowing that one has done the right thing. Saul of Tarsus, later Paul, stood before the king and he says, I have lived in all good conscience up until this very day. And somebody, the king had him slapped. Did you know Saul of Tarsus said that he did not violate his conscience? His conscience did not bother him one bit to see Christians put to death? How much wrong could you be? If anybody was ever wrong, Saul of Tarsus was wrong. But it didn't bother his conscience a bit. Consciences are changed. Consciences can be changed. Cain, one of the great statements of the Bible. Genesis chapter 4. You remember Cain killed his brother? Remember his sacrifice was not acceptable to God? Notice in Genesis chapter 4, verse 5. And for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard, that is God. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. And the Lord said to him, why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? You go through that mental gymnastics with your kids and your grandkids all the time. They're pouting around and so forth. Why are they pouting around? Why are they feeling bad? Why are they crying? Because they messed up and did the wrong thing. If you want your kids to be happy, you want your grandkids to be happy, tell them they need to do the right thing. Have that conversation with my grandsons all the time. Do you enjoy crying and feeling bad? No. Well, how about doing the right thing and you won't feel that way? Oh, we didn't think of that. Religious people don't think of that either. Brother and sister in Christ, you do the right thing and then you feel good. The religions of today have the cart before the horse. They want to feel good and not be concerned about what's right. Heartfelt religion is serving God with the whole heart. Quickly, let me say it this way. The intellect is changed by the evidence. The emotions are changed by faith. The will is changed when it's motivated. And the conscience is changed when action is taken. Now notice this idea of evidence, faith, and motivated in action. Brother and sister in Christ, the only way that you and I can have a complete, wholehearted, heartfelt, religious worship is when all four of these things take place. So that I'm not misunderstood. Don't go away today and say that church services and worshiping God faithfully is a very cold, indifferent, never smile religion. There is not a single truth in that. But do not be confused into thinking that just because people are smiling and happy and running around and jumping around and enthusiastic, they must be right. Just as Philip said to the eunuch, if you're going to obey God, you're going to have to believe with all your heart. All your heart. I would encourage you to study more closely what we've talked about today. Because it's not only important for you personally. You know, you probably have very strong emotions about things. And you feel like you've pretty well thought about it and worked through it, and you're right. But I want to suggest to all of us, there is the possibility that we might be wrong.
Do we have enough desire to really sit down and study to make sure that we are right? That we've made good choices, right decisions. And you know, when we are seeing the evidence from God's Word that we are right, we've made good decisions, you are going to feel really good about that. There is no reason for us not to have a heartfelt religion. We should show joy and excitement, appreciation and love. It should be there. Another lesson for another day. When emotion is not there, that usually means one of the other three is messed up also. A cold, indifferent people can be wrong as well. It's important to have your heart right with God. Brother Phil talked a little bit about that, I think. Was that Wednesday night you talked about that? And again, we've been talking about this for months because it's the heart of the issue. Pun intended. Thank you for listening today. We appreciate your attention so very, very much. Keep studying it. Keep thinking about it. Keep praying about it. We all need to be able to worship God from the heart, with the whole heart. Kevin is going to come and lead us in an invitation song, and there might be someone here that has yet to obey the gospel. We want to encourage you to obey the gospel, to become a Christian. And it's something you have to think about. It's something you have to know about. It's something that you have to learn about. It's something that you have to make up your mind about. It involves your will. It involves your emotions. It involves your intellect. It involves your conscience. And the reason a lot of people don't obey the gospel is they don't think they've done anything wrong. I haven't done anything wrong. But just because you say you've not done anything wrong, or you don't believe you've done anything wrong, is that true? How do you know? How would you know? What if you found out after all this time you are wrong? Now what you feeling? Now what you going to do? You see, will, intellect, emotions, conscience, all that's involved. We can't just let one override all the others. So becoming a Christian involves your whole heart. If you're a child of God and you've not lived the way you ought to live, does your conscience bother you? Has there something been wrong with you for a long time and you hadn't been able to figure out what it is? Maybe you've gone to the doctors, not this heart. Physically, you check out fine. But just something, you don't feel right. You just don't, you know, just things aren't what they ought to be. You know, the mind, the heart, spiritual heart, is a very, very powerful thing. And it has a lot to do with the way you feel physically. So if you've been having problems and issues spiritually, it could very well be affecting you physically. Have you ever thought about that, brethren? Why is your blood pressure so high? Why are you so nervous? Maybe because you know you're not right? Not living right? Not doing right? Is your heart right before God? How would you know? I hope and pray that you take it to heart, what we've talked about today. And if I can help you any further, talk with you, encourage you, help you in any way, that's why we're here. God loves you very much. He wants you to be saved. He gave you His Son. What more could He do to show and prove that He loves you that much? Do you love Him? Won't you come as we stand and sing?
We are the promises.